and welcome back to the Catch Yourself On podcast. I'm your host, Rosie, and this week we're going to be discussing resilience. We're going to be looking at the relationship between things like rest and resilience, unpacking why resilience does not mean that you should just be a doormat, and leaning into the question of how we can cultivate an authentic resilience. We're not only going to be talking about resilience, but also how we can practically apply it to our lives. So if all that sounds interesting to you, then keep listening for loads of helpful tips and insights. So I know what a lot of people will be thinking right now, like, what, a podcast on resilience? But do not assume that you don't need this. Resilience is tied to a lot of things that we talk about now, like confidence, empowerment, leadership. But it's not only sort of neglected from these discussions, but in a way it's also misrepresented. And we'll be talking about this more in the episode, but resilience, we kind of understand it as flexibility, adaptability, perseverance, stamina. It's tied up with a lot of qualities like patience, determination, flexibility. And I wanted to create an episode around resilience because resilience actually is one of the key attributes of successful leaders and helps us face challenges, navigate obstacles, and just thrive. And it can help us to lead and to achieve bigger and better results in our own lives and also our professional lives as well. So resilience comes from the Latin for springing back or jumping back up. And for me, an image which we come back to a lot in the episode is actually, when I think of resilience, I think of kind of like being in the sea and loads of waves coming at me and having to like overpass these waves. That's the image that comes to mind. Others kind of think of resilience with the motto like, oh, it takes grit, or maybe climbing a mountain, or I don't know if anything in particular springs to mind when you think about resilience. When I was putting together this episode and doing some reading and research, all the papers that I came across tend to focus on children and resilience, which I find really interesting. So resilience is really tied up in healthy development for children and how children can grow up to be healthy adults as well. It's really tied up to the narrative of mental health and the narrative of just taking care of yourself more generally and avoiding burnout. So the earliest research that was conducted around resilience started in the late 1950s. And the research focused on children who had grown up in adverse situations where there had been poverty, where their parents suffered from alcoholism, and where the family environments presented a lot of challenges for them. And the result of this analysis showed that while 2/3 of the children mimicked the same destructive behaviour patterns as parents, 1/3 of children in adverse situations went on to excel and become leaders. And this research helped me to reflect on how a lot of people develop resilience merely because of the situations that they grow up in. And in this episode, we're going to unpack not only the external, so our environments, our support structures, and how that works in terms of resilience, but also what is internal and intrinsic, so our emotional intelligence, how we manage our emotions, and how this relates to building resilience as well. So to unpack this really loaded topic, I'm going to be talking to Natalie Hall, who is an accredited executive and leadership coach and consultant who specialises in emotional intelligence, resilience and wellbeing coaching. Natalie founded Elevate Her, a platform which offers inspiring coaching services to help women feel empowered, confident and resilient so that they can prosper in their personal lives and their professional lives. Natalie is currently writing a book on resilience based on her research and all her experience in this area, so she's the perfect individual to talk to about this, redefining it and reformulating our preconceptions of what resilience is and what that looks like. So I'm going to cut to my conversation with her right now, and I really hope that you enjoy it. So Natalie, thank you so much for joining me to talk all about resilience. The first thing that I was wondering, which I think people will find really helpful as kind of a starting point, is how you define resilience in your resilience coaching, Natalie. So obviously resilience varies a lot according to the circumstances and the situation you grow up in, and some people develop resilience if they've kind of been through more stressful situations, I guess. But how do you see resilience as something that you develop, and what sort of things do you focus on in your resilience coaching?
It should be a way of living, actually, and it's a way in which that we can all operate to deliver, I suppose, ourselves a bit of a calmer life and a more positive mindset. And I actually think it kind of underpins quite a lot of day-to-day challenges that we're all facing. It's that ability to bounce back and, as Brené Brown might say, rise stronger. So it's that sense of when you're faced with a fall or a knock in life, it's your ability to pick yourself up But what I coach around is actually that, yes, that's very, very important, but it's also about taking a moment as well. You don't have to always bounce back immediately. It's okay to feel. And that's kind of some of the things that particularly I focus on with my clients, which is about, yes, resilience is about bouncing back, but let's just kind of ensure that we feel that moment as well. It's okay to feel stuff. It's about, I suppose, connecting with yourself in that moment, understand what's happening, own the story, own the narrative, and then you're able to kind of bounce back. I see that there are kind of, I suppose, 8 pillars to how to live this resilient life. And when you look at kind of the very popular books out there that probably touch on resilience, a lot of the case studies that they focus on are, you know, they're about endurance. So it might feature adventurers or CEOs or people who have really have risen to the kind of pinnacle of their industry. But I suppose what I wanted to explore is kind of what does everyday resilience look like for the non-superhumans, you know, for the normal human beings. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of come up with a model that I use both in my coaching and with my clients and that I'm going to explore in the book around what are the kind of attributes of resilience and how might you build them in your life.
And a lot of your coaching as well focuses on kind of equipping people with the tools, right? And as you say, kind of research does link resilience to challenges, but also it's not just about focusing on the challenges. And I know that you promote a work which is kind of building resilience even before you feel like you need it. And how much of resilience would you say is preparation? Because it's not just like coping in the midst, but it's also being able to thrive.
I really like that question, actually. And I think you've hit the nail on the head really with that, because I see it as more of a lifestyle as opposed to a set of skills you might deploy when something bad happens.
Yeah, because I think that's how sometimes it's framed.
I think that's right. And I think therefore, you know, if you're in the moment of and something, perhaps you've lost your job, or perhaps you've had a disappointment or even heartbreak. When you're in the moment, it's really difficult to think about actually, okay, well, what skills do I need to learn to get myself through this?
Yeah.
Actually, if it becomes kind of a way of living, you will notice that, yes, you will still feel emotions and yes, you'll still get upset and disappointed, but your ability to kind of move forward and move forward positively becomes a bit more kind of innate. I suppose it's just an ability to feel less of the shock of it all.
Yeah, I don't know how to phrase it, but even how resilience relates to time as well, because it's kind of crossing all the temporal parameters, because you think about the past and reflecting on what you maybe could have improved on, and then assessing the present moment, as you say, and then also looking forward into the future in preparation. And if you think about that present moment that you were talking about and kind of managing your emotions and self-talk and self-regulating your behavior, what sort of questions would you say, or even thinking about resilience as kind of a mindset, like you were saying, or a lifestyle, and avoiding thinking traps that we all fall into, what sort of questions would you say to kind of be consistently asking yourself? So like, can I turn this situation into something positive, or how can I make the most of this, stuff like that?
Before you start asking yourself questions and challenging yourself to kind of learn from the experience, you do it with a kind of a kind attitude and an element of kindness and forgiveness of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, if the situation you're facing, you know, it causes you to kind of question your own behaviours or your part in that, that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think any questions that you ask of yourself through that time should be kind of with that wrapper around them, that you're doing this in a kind way. You're doing this not because you want to beat yourself up.
Yeah, self-compassion.
Yeah, so there's an element of self-compassion. And then I think there is a case of just being a little bit curious about what has happened and understanding, okay, so what was the stories going on in my head when I was going through this situation? Perhaps what have I learned both about myself and about other people? And how might that change my response in the future? It's great to reflect, but I just want people to do it with kindness and with forgiveness of themselves, because we all make mistakes.
Yeah, that's so true. And when you said about yourself and other people, I was just wondering how much of resilience is kind of tapped into more local things like you specifically, and then how much of it is the broader landscape as well, and putting things in perspective. There's kind of like a tension there in a way.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. One of the pillars that I talk about is support network. And one of the exercises that I often encourage clients to think about is when you look at your life, take some segments. So perhaps take, you know, your friends or your colleagues, perhaps your family, perhaps your kind of close friendship network, or even your neighbours or community. If you kind of segment up these groups of people, it sounds a bit clinical, but it can sometimes be quite revealing. If you think about where you give support across those kind of pillars of your life, and then you look where you take support from, And what I encourage my clients to look at is, you know, where does that feel out of balance? Mm-hmm. And sometimes, inevitably, it might be. So it might be that, you know, with your sibling, there's a one-way dynamic, and that's the way it's kind of been. Are you always giving support, and do you not have anybody to receive support from? Having a bit of, I suppose, a look and drawing a bit of a map about, okay, this is where I am right now, and here's what I'd like to change. That is a part of resilience. Mm-hmm. I suppose the old adage of, do you surround yourself with energy drainers or radiators?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's quite a lot of research in terms of children and resilience, and it says about how children to become more resilient really need that one adult relationship at least in their life to help them grow stronger emotionally and stuff like that. As you say, support is a massive part of resilience and having that support structure mm-hmm. in place. So how do you think we can then be better at helping other people to become more resilient? And off the back of that as well, obviously in a way, like, there's so much in the world that we can't control. Having that support network is one thing that we can control. So mm-hmm. how would you say to navigate that, and how can we best help others? Obviously, maybe like being accountable to them and that kind of thing.
I'll pick up on a couple of those. One of the things I talk a lot about is about, you know, releasing control. So really having a clear idea about what are the controllables in your life, and therefore trying to minimize the amount of time you spend, I suppose, worrying or catastrophizing over things you can't. And that is really difficult at the minute, you know, particularly with the fact that we're all exposed to this kind of 24/7 news cycle with stats and figures coming at us from every direction. But if you think about at the core of it, you know, what you can control, well, you control your attitude, you control how you show up in the world, how you interact with people. There's internal things that you could control. Yeah. And that's worth focusing on right now when everything else feels very out of control. And a key part of that is boundaries, actually. Mm-hmm. I read somewhere, actually, it was actually a Brené Brown story. She talked a lot about the kind of the most compassionate people she ever met had the strongest boundaries. Because if you're able to kind of protect your own boundaries, communicate them really kind of positively to other people, you are able to show up for them. Mm-hmm. Because you're showing up in a way that is not resentful. So that we can show up for others and care for others. And I thought that was a really interesting thing to explore.
Yeah, it's so true that you're not pouring from an empty cup, yes, that you're pouring from a full cup. And also saying about control, I think letting go is also a massive part of resilience, or at least knowing where to let go. Because obviously, I don't know, sometimes resilience makes you think of like waves on the sea coming and you're just bouncing back and bouncing back. But there are times where you just have to let go. And would you say then a part of resilience is kind of knowing, yeah, when to let go and when to say no, enough is enough. This is a situation that I can't change, and kind of releasing that.
I think there is something really interesting about releasing control, because often I think when we think about control, we're trying to kind of influence an outcome. We're either thinking about the past and what's happened to us before, and therefore we want to protect ourselves right now from that scenario. So we're back in the past, which, you know, which is gone and done, or we're in the future and we're worrying and trying to influence the outcome, and we want it to go a certain way. Yeah. But what we're not doing is sitting in the moment and being present. And I think that links quite nicely to control. And I suppose in a way, your analogy about these waves that are coming, what you've got to focus on is that moment in time rather than the big wave in the future or the one that went in the past. And actually it's about steadying the ship right now for you. Focusing about, okay, so what can you influence? How can you take this? How can I treat this as an opportunity? And that can be hard in the moment, but with a bit of time and a little bit of processing, you can get to the stage where you think, actually, okay, so I was rejected in this circumstance. What have I learned from this? How can I take this forward? Where can I create opportunities for myself looking forward?
Yeah. And when you talked about big waves coming, if we think about that representing challenge, how would we then navigate kind of the zone of discomfort and being uncomfortable? Because I think that's a massive part, because a lot of the research kind of says, oh, when you're challenged in the face of adversity, that's when you grow. Do you really think that kind of putting yourself in uncomfortable situations or challenging yourself in some sort of way can be helpful, obviously in a healthy way, but can be helpful to grow resilience?
It's sometimes good for us to sit with discomfort. It does encourage us to kind of change. It does encourage us to think about our behaviours, and we do learn when we're in discomfort. And I suppose it goes also to people who will say, you know, I'm really impatient. Actually, part of patience is sitting with the discomfort of the wait. You know, it's kind of, so it's the ability to sit with some discomfort and get a little bit comfortable with the unknowns or the things that you haven't quite figured out. And it's that constant mantra of, yes, challenges are great, as long as it doesn't put you into, I suppose, a negative thought pattern about your own abilities and your own capabilities. I think the challenge is positive. This book is kind of a combination of, I suppose, some coaching tools in there to help support people develop a bit more kind of resilience in their everyday life. I'm telling some of my own personal story. My own story with resilience, I suppose, stemmed from the fact that I worked in professional services for 18 years. I was a partner at Deloitte, and I made partner on my second maternity leave with my second boy. And I kind of took on so much from a personal and professional perspective. And I was of this generation, I suppose, of women who just wanted to prove themselves, wanted to kind of have people, wanted to break that glass ceiling, be that person. But, you know, I was fortunate that I was probably in a wave of women that where there was support, and it was lots of women in leadership courses, lots of opportunities. I pushed myself to the point of burnout and had to kind of step away from the workplace. A lot of that was kind of my own mindset and my own attitudes and how I presented myself. And actually, I think that in hindsight, I didn't need to do all that. And I could have still been successful. And I think there was a way of thinking and a way of protecting myself that I suppose has come through in my research and now with my coaching, that I think there's an element of kindness and compassion and a way to bring resilience into your everyday life without feeling like it's like climbing a mountain or
because I was going to say at that time, maybe you felt like you were being resilient, but in an unhealthy way, because you were like taking on all these challenges and it felt like every wave was coming and you were surmounting it, but it wasn't what was right.
I really remember this conversation where someone said, you know, there's a webinar running, it's all about resilience. And I remember saying, right now, I don't need to be any more resilient. It was almost like I felt like resilience was this thing about, you know, put on some more armor and then throw a load more challenges at me. I had this really negative view of it actually at the time, and then I think I've come to explore it more and to realize actually it's more of a way of living as opposed to armory.
Yeah, that's so true. Would you say then quite a lot of the way society frames resilience is quite negative? It's possibly lacking the idea of like purpose, because maybe you're just taking whatever is thrown at you, but it's not actually for you or what you want.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. It's kind of like, I mean, a lot of the knocks that we might all experience in life are in general out of our control, and therefore you know, it can feel like sometimes that, you know, I don't have much control over this situation, and therefore you're asking me to be resilient, but I feel like I can't put any more armor on. Whereas I feel like, you know, actually it's about daily practices such that you're not riding that wave of kind of that, as you describe it, you know, like the waves constantly battering you. You're actually in a calmer place, and therefore some things are just able to wash over you.
Yeah.
And they're not kind of knocking you to your core.
And I think that does come to that idea of surrendering as well. You know, the way sometimes we spend an unnecessary amount of time being resilient, focusing on our weaknesses, whereas actually it would be so much better if we just played to our strengths. It's kind of knowing when to let go and when to acknowledge, right, enough is enough, I can step back from the situation.
Yeah, I think that's really true. You know, I think it's holding that belief in your mind that you're doing the best you can with the information and resources you have available. And I think that's like, you know, it's one of the key principles of the coach training that I've done.
Mm-hmm. Has 2020 been a big year for resilience?
Yes. You know, it's had a lot of publicity, hasn't it? And a lot of people have been talking about resilience. We're probably all feeling a bit battered and bruised. I think we need a bit of a recovery time. And then I think we'll look back and I hope we will see that there have been aspects of this year that we can draw some positives from. You know, it's been really difficult for a lot of people. But, you know, maybe it's taught us a few lessons about what we need to be prioritising and what's important to us. And I hope that we can kind of hold that as we move forward.
Yeah, and you really integrate rest into the conversation with resilience.
Absolutely. I think there's a point around recovery, and I think there's also a point around allowing people to feel, so it's not necessarily about you take that knock and then you must bounce back in the moment. It's about you are allowed to feel as well, and you're allowed to process your emotions, and you're allowed to kind of reflect on it before bouncing back. Because I think that sometimes as a society we're expected to kind of bounce back quickly and power on through. And I think that actually in some cases it's almost more healthy if you're able to kind of process and then bounce back.
And that gives you time to reflect and assess on what's happened to you, and then also plan and prepare for going forward, and then just hold space for your feelings and your emotions and validate them. And finally, if you were to kind of help people raise their resilience threshold, what would you say if people have listened and it's not something that they've thought about before really, but if they were leaving and thinking like, how can I really apply resilience to my life in an easy way to kind of incorporate this type of thinking?
I think that a resilience is a really good kind of counteractor to stress. And therefore, I think it's good for people to understand how stress manifests itself for them. So we're all very unique and we all experience stress in a very unique way. And it's kind of part of the human experience to feel stressed. And so therefore, I suppose understanding kind of what your stress signature is really important so that you get those early warning signs. And therefore, I think that there is something about, I suppose, getting familiar with yourself and connecting a bit with yourself. And it's that level of growing self-awareness, which I think links really strongly to resilience, because I suppose your ability to kind of manage your stress levels or understand where you need to make a little bit of an intervention, I think is really important. And that's kind of, I suppose, how you might practice resilience on a day-to-day basis. I don't know if you've read it, but I read a BuzzFeed article by a lady called, I think it's Anne-Marie Peterson, and it's called Millennial Burnout. And it's a really interesting article. She's turned it into a book, but it's actually all about how millennials particularly have been suffering with burnout because of all these need to be online 24/7, but also all these productivity hacks that people promote. So, you know, the 5 a.m. club, setting yourself loads of goals and challenges and making sure you really hustle all the time. It's leaving people really low on energy and feeling quite stressed and a wall of burnout that's coming to that kind of generation. I think that's a really interesting aspect of almost like anti-resilience, in a sense of you're throwing so much at yourself that you're not giving yourself the coping mechanisms by which to kind of process it all.
Yeah. And also in that sense, it's kind of being practical as well. Like, how can I avoid burnout and how can I plan resilience for times when I feel that I have the most energy and kind of anticipate busy periods? It's so true in a way. Like, although it is a mindset shift, in some ways you can be practical about it by incorporating sort of more helpful solutions.
Yeah, I think that's really true.
Clearly resilience is irrevocably bound with so many things that we talk about, like confidence, adaptability, purpose, perspective, flexibility. And one thing I really learned from the discussion was rethinking how resilience is about battling or fighting against the waves, but actually acknowledging that there are times when the situation is costing us too much energy and you're doing everything possible, but you have to know when to step away. And also the positive self-talk that we spoke about, changing the dialogue from something that never goes to plan or a bad thing that always happens to us into something that we can change, and we can say that in a different way and start to evaluate the role that we play in situations which boosts our own confidence. And I don't mean positivity in terms of a blind hope, but a realistic optimism. And as well, when we think about support structures, incorporating as many different perspectives to challenge us, but also to help us see things from other people's perspectives, and that ultimately will help build resilience as well. Having had this discussion, I feel like resilience is so multifaceted and there's so many different pillars to it. So I guess a challenge for all of us is to kind of choose what stood out to us in the discussion and what aspect of resilience we may be battling with. When I was preparing for this, I actually did a quiz. I'm going to leave the link because it was really interesting, and it was a quiz on mind tools based on the model of resilience in the book Building Resilience for Success. And it looks at four key elements of resilience, and it breaks down what you could work at more, what you're potentially lacking or what you're excelling in, and how that weaves together this finished picture of what resilience could look like in your life. And it's really, really good, so I would really recommend doing that. And ultimately, when we think about enhancing resilience, it is part of this broader narrative of self-improvement and self-awareness. And Natalie really emphasizes how it relates to energy and the idea of being burnt out or being exhausted or being expelled of energy. So I think if we move forward and we try to tackle this and start thinking about this more, it will really help us pushing into the next month and also the year ahead. If 2020 has been a year of building resilience, then we definitely have had good practice in this. So that brings us to the end of this week's episode of the Catch Yourself On podcast. I want to thank Natalie for participating in the episode, and as always, James and Joe for composing the music to the podcast. If your ears liked what you heard, then please leave a review or share it with a friend, and check out the podcast on social media and engage in the broader discussion that happens over on Instagram. Wishing everyone a resilient but restful week ahead, and I look forward to speaking into your ears soon. So have a beautiful week and stay safe. Bye.